It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up later, it's flu season, and we look at the pros and cons of vaccination with a toxicologist who's studying its effects over time.
First, the nation is still reacting to a grand jury's decision not to indict the Ferguson police officer who shot and killed 18-year-old Michael Brown. The announcement came down last night, spawning protests in Ferguson and across the nation.
President Obama appealed for peace in the aftermath of the ruling, but it was an emotional night, and parts of Ferguson saw reports of gunshots, looting, and arson fueled by racial unrest and a sense that justice had not been served. Now that it's the day after, all eyes are still on the St. Louis suburb. And what happens next?
Here with us now to discuss the situation in Ferguson is Willis Arnold. He's a reporter at St. Louis Public Radio. He was on the ground in Ferguson last night. Willis, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Certainly.
Well, before we look back at last night, what are you hearing about what's going on in Ferguson now, today?
Most of today in Ferguson itself is actually focused on cleanup and kind of gently assessing the damage. People are out looking at their businesses. We have reporters in the field who are talking to people about exactly how much damage was done and what the kind of toll is of last night.
And how widespread is that toll? How big an area of Ferguson was directly affected?
The primary areas of Ferguson that were affected were two specific streets. There's South Florissant Road, which is an area that's directly in front of the Ferguson Police Department, and then there is the West Florissant Street, which is where a lot of the protests that you would have seen in August took place. And a lot of the businesses along both of those streets were affected, but not a lot of the kind of arson or images that you would have seen on the nightly news last night spread to other surrounding areas in St. Louis.
Well, take us back to last night. You were in Ferguson reporting. We're hearing all kinds of reports today about what happened. What kinds of things did you see?
I saw a range of things. The night began peacefully. People waited outside the Ferguson Police Department. A couple hundred people gathered and listened to the verdict come in through the radio, through car radios. And initially the response was to run to the police barricade in front of the police station. Protesters expressed their dissatisfaction and then kind of came into a lull, focused on chanting and kind of called for peace. And then they started to march towards a police line, which had formed at the few blocks down south of on South Florissant from the police station. The police formed a line, and from there things began to escalate.
Now, in what I've seen from your reporting there at St. Louis Public Radio, a lot of protesters were actively discouraging arson, looting, violence, that sort of thing. What kind of things are you hearing from the protesters who were hoping things would stay peaceful?
Most of the protesters really were focused on that peaceful protest and were focused on marching and chants and expressing their dissatisfaction in a nonviolent way. I spoke with one woman who immediately after the non-indictment came down expressed that they were there, that they were angry, that people were frustrated, but they really hoped there would be peace. Later, I spoke to a young man who had stopped someone. He got in front of a person who was trying to set a bar on fire and told them that that was not the way to handle the situation, and that person was discouraged. It seems like most of the arsons and looting and things that happened were scattered. It wasn't like a large roving group of people that was causing mass destruction. It kind of like popped up here and there.
Well, turning to the police response, what did you see as far as their preparation, and was most of the violence where the police weren't?
I was specifically located at the Ferguson Police Department for most of the time that I was in the area, which was, I would say, heavily, there was a strong police presence, and the initial actions that I witnessed turn kind of violent occurred after the police were in riot gear and blocked off a street where people were marching. And then it kind of became, not to use a cliche, but a bit of a cat and mouse game where people, it would be hard, I imagine, for the police to keep track of smaller bands of people that would be walking throughout the neighborhood. And it didn't seem like a lot of the confrontation was directly aimed at police, but kind of spread out in general frustration.
Now, looking toward tonight and looking ahead, we're hearing reports of how and whether the state's National Guard will be deployed. What kind of things are you hearing? What are people wanting to see when it comes to the National Guard?
My impression is that it sort of depends on where the person is and what they're talking and who they're talking to. Business owners certainly want their property protected, and there has been some talk of the National Guard being deployed for that reason this evening in anticipation of continued violence. But a lot of the protesters that I spoke with were really trying to focus on the idea of nonviolent protest. There was a march today that was primarily nonviolent and took place in downtown St. Louis. And right now we are, Governor Jay Nixon is currently giving a press conference and may have some more information on that when he's finished.
And what did you hear last night from Ferguson residents, from protesters, about what they want to see moving forward? What kind of organizing, what kind of action are they looking ahead to?
I think in the immediate future we're going to see continued protests, continued marches, continued planned actions. We saw a wide variety of these in August. We saw everything from pop-up protests in areas throughout the city to planned marches to attempts to block roadways and things like that. I would not be surprised if we saw similar actions. A lot of the people in the long term started to focus on whether or not there would be the chance for the federal government to get involved and what further legal ramifications were going to be possible.
Now, looking in from the outside, we had a lot of attention nationally on Ferguson in the summer, of course, and the weeks that followed the initial shooting. We're paying attention again after this grand jury ruling and the reaction there. Has there been a protest in the area between then and now? What's been going on that maybe we weren't focusing on between those events?
There have been key presences of protesters in different areas. So there have been some hot spots. West Florissant has remained an active area, although it has dwindled up until last night. Outside the police department, there have been anywhere from a handful of people to a couple hundred people on various nights since the August kind of peak of activity. And then there have been other smaller actions. There was an event called Ferguson October where protesters invited people throughout the country to come and protest. And there was a march down a main street in downtown St. Louis. And I just wanted to let you know, you asked earlier what we could expect in terms of the National Guard. We are getting reports from Jason Rosenbaum, my colleague at this station, that the governor is saying the National Guard presence will be ramped up this evening and that they should be stationed throughout the city.
There was talk of, and throughout the protest, talk of possibility of coordination, communication mainly, I guess, between protest leaders and the police. Did we see much of that last night? Is there talk of trying to get that going in future protests?
I think that a lot of the initial protests, because it is decentralized, a lot of those initial talks took place between an older generation of protesters and not necessarily in communication with a younger group of protesters. I don't know that for certain, but that seems to be the way that this has happened, and I think that that might have been similar last night. There may have been conversations between some of the more established community leaders, but most of the younger, youthful protesters that I spoke with were not speaking with cops and were kind of declining to speak with media as much as possible because they were focused on the people that were out there and the people that they were friends with and knew and were around the area.
Willis, thanks for your coverage and for sharing your firsthand perspective with us today.
Certainly. Thank you for speaking with me.
That was Willis Arnold. He's a reporter at St. Louis Public Radio who was in Ferguson, Missouri last night.